If you drive for Uber, Lyft, or DoorDash, this podcast is for you. I'm going to show you how to purchase your first home while working as an independent contractor for Uber, Lyft, and DoorDash. Why are there such a huge number of people working for Uber, Lyft, and DoorDash? Well, because not only can you work when you want to work, you can get paid when you want to get paid. Lyft and Uber and DoorDash offer direct debit pay cards, which allow you to get paid instantly rather than waiting for a weekly or biweekly or even monthly paycheck. They offer cash back on gas at 2%, groceries at 1%, and dining at 4%. So where can you quickly get your car maintained affordably? They offer mobile maintenance service centers. And I'm referring specifically to Lyft because they will fix your car to keep you on the road so that you can continue earning money. Lyft will come to your home or work to repair your vehicle so that you can stay on the road, continue driving, and continue earning a living. They offer a new program called Express Drive. And this is simply just means if you don't own a car, well, no problem. The Express Drive allows you to rent a car so you can get on the road and start earning money today, literally today. They even offer electric and hybrid vehicles for rent. So if you work as an independent contractor and you don't receive a steady paycheck, it's good because you work when you want to work and you have your downtime when you are not in the mood to work. Maybe you're a full-time college student. Maybe you have another full-time job. Maybe you have children at home that are in grade school or elementary school or high school. So you need this flexibility. Uber, Lyft, and DoorDash allow this flexibility. There's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. The only problem is you're not going to be receiving the typical W-2 form, which is what we call a W-2 wage earner form. You're considered an independent contractor, and therefore, at the end of the year, you'll receive what's called a 1099. And that's going to list all of the money that you've earned from Uber, Lyft, or DoorDash in one lump sum. And like I said, it's great for single moms, single dads, college students, or anyone who just wants to supplement their full-time job. The only problem that's happening today is the cost of gas. The national cost of gas per gallon is $4.18, according to the Automobile Club of Southern California. And I myself, I drive a Honda Accord, and it takes me about $87 to fill up the car. And that $87 usually lasts about 3 days, maybe 4 days. So we need to do something about the cost of gas. And I hear the president is releasing gas reserves, and that should reduce the price of gas. I hope so, because people need to earn a living. And I support my Uber, my DoorDash, my Lyft drivers. I support you. You need to earn a living. It's convenient for you, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that type of profession. In 2018, pre-COVID, pre-pandemic, the average cost of a single-family home in the United States was $261,000. Today, 2022, the average cost for a single family home is $360,000. At the same time, we're looking at higher interest rates, whereas 2.5 years ago, interest rates were at an all-time low, the lowest they've been in 30, 40 years. I know someone who has an interest rate of 2.4% fixed interest rate. Well, today, interest rates are rising rapidly, and the average interest rate is 4.85%. That's nearly double. I mean, we're almost near 5% interest rates. It's crazy. So after 2 years of record low interest rates, we see that things are rapidly changing. Why? Well, because there are more buyers than sellers in this market. Where are the buyers coming from? I don't know, but they're here. There's not enough inventory. So for every home that's for sale, you could see 35 to 50 offers on that one piece of property. So you're bidding against cash buyers. You're bidding against people who are conventional borrowers. You're bidding against people who have really high credit scores. So the competition in this real estate market is really fierce. But I don't want you to be discouraged, because some people are emailing me and telling me they think it's cheaper to rent nowadays rather than purchase. And I'll tell you why I disagree with that. First of all, it depends on where you live and how much rent you're currently paying. So in 2020, the national average rental price for a one-bedroom apartment was $2,000. A studio apartment in Playa del Rey, California, costs on average today, 2022, April, $4,000 a month. In Los Angeles, the cost of a studio hovers around $2,500 a month, and that's cheap, okay? That's what they'll tell you. You're getting a deal. Phoenix, Arizona, $1,075. San Antonio, Texas, $804. Dallas, Texas, an area that I really like, $1,429. If you live in the Bay Area, San Jose, $2,400 a month is what a studio apartment's going to cost you. If you live in Chicago, where it's nice and chilly, $1,795 a month is what a studio apartment will cost you today. So think about it. Do you want to rent an apartment, or would you rather purchase a home that you're going to gain equity in over time? If you live in Florida, you can get a one-bedroom apartment for about $1,600 a month. The cost to rent versus buying for me is always higher, because I feel like ownership is the American dream. As an homeowner, you can deduct property taxes, insurance, home repairs, and home improvements. But as a renter, you're simply paying rent to your landlord, and they are the ones reaping the benefits. You're just paying money out every month. You're paying your utilities, you're paying your rent, but you have no deductions when it comes to the end of the year taxes. So I feel like it's better, always better to buy than rent if you can. So to qualify for a home in today's real estate market, if you're an independent contractor, you need 24 to 36 months of bank statements. You also need 2 years of income tax returns. Be sure to document your business income and losses on your tax returns. That's very important. Some people don't want to document their losses because they feel like it's going to reduce their gross income. But you want to document everything because it's going to help you in the long run. Now, you also need to save 5 to 10% for a down payment. Some lenders will require 20% down if you don't have a W-2 and you earn income from DoorDash, Uber, or Lyft. They may want to see 20% down because they'll view you as more of a higher risk. But don't worry, it's okay. You will also be taxed at a much higher tax rate if you work as an independent contractor, because you're required to pay Medicare, Social Security, or what they call self-employment taxes at a tax rate of 15.3%. So you'll be taxed at a higher tax rate if you work for Uber, Lyft, or DoorDash, rather than if you work for a company that's paying you a wage, giving you a salary, and sending you a W-2 at the end of every year. But I want you to know it's not impossible to purchase a home in this real estate market. You just have to search for homes in lower cost areas such as Texas. I like Dallas. Some people like, you know, Plano, Texas. It depends on what you like. Arizona, Phoenix isn't a bad area. Atlanta, and also Florida. These are areas that you want to concentrate on because the cost of homes, although they're slightly increasing in these areas, you still can purchase a home at a decent value. How should I prepare to purchase a home if I'm an independent contractor? Well, the first thing you need to start doing, if you haven't already, is saving your money. So you work for Uber, you work for Lyft, you work for DoorDash, and you get paid daily. The problem with that is it's so easy to spend the money every day as you earn it. Sometimes you don't want to cash out at the end of the week or 2 weeks later because you have a bill to pay or your son or daughter needs something or you have an immediate car expense. But what you need to do is set aside $100, $200 every week that you're not going to touch so that at the end of the month, you're cashing out at least $800 a month. And that money needs to go directly into a savings account that you don't touch. Okay? Not a Chime account, a bank account at Chase, at Bank of America, at your local credit union. It needs to go into a bank account so that when it's time for you to purchase, you can document where that money came from and show it to the lender. Okay, it has to be documented. There has to be a paper trail. So the other thing you want to do is file your taxes every single year. You're going to need at least 2 years of income tax returns. I've been getting emails that some lenders are even asking to review the third year of tax returns. However, normally they only ask for 2 years. The next thing you want to do is clean up your credit report. And if you want credit report repair tips, go to my blog at Mansion for Me. I have a bunch of tips there, but I'll give you a couple right now. Make sure your addresses are correct. Make sure your telephone numbers are correct. Make sure your name is spelled correctly. Make sure all of the creditors listed on your credit report are your creditors and they're not your moms or your ex-husbands or your ex-girlfriends. Make sure you don't have any collection accounts. If you do have a collection account, make sure it's paid in full. And I can show you tricks on my blog at Mansion for Me on how you can delete collection accounts from your credit report. Another thing I want to talk about is finding a good realtor. I actually believe the trick to finding a house in this difficult market is having a realtor that actually cares about you, not someone who's just out to make a commission. Someone who really listens to you and wants to help you find your dream home. You know, if you tell them you want a house with a picket fence and a big backyard, or you want a house with a swimming pool, you want a house out in the middle of nowhere, you know, with no neighbors, the realtor should listen to you. They shouldn't be showing you homes that you're not interested in. If you find a realtor that's doing this, get rid of them quickly. Another thing is to find a real estate broker, a mortgage broker who can run your credit, review your income, and let you know right up front how much you qualify for. Because I see a lot of people emailing me and shopping for houses, and then when it comes down to it, they don't even qualify for the house that they're looking for. They're looking at $500,000, $600,000 homes when they really qualify for a $240,000 home. So don't waste your time looking at homes if you don't qualify for them. Find yourself a good mortgage broker. Let him or her do their little numbers for you. They'll run your credit one time, not 20 times, one time, and tell you exactly how much you qualify for. They'll give you an idea of an interest rate, which it won't be locked in, but they'll give you an idea of an interest rate based on your credit score, your income, et cetera, your down payment and things like that. Another thing I want to say is please, please stop overbidding for the house. The people that are overbidding are the ones that are driving the prices up. Stop overbidding. We all collectively need to get together and start underbidding these sellers, okay? Because if we do that, we're going to help to reduce the cost of these homes that are way overpriced anyways, okay? So don't overbid. I don't care how much you want that house. I don't care if you dreamed about that house and you woke up and you're like, I got to have this house. I'm going to overbid $15,000 or I'm going to overbid $30,000. Don't do it. Trust me. You're going to hate yourself later if you do. So no overbidding. Just be patient. Keep looking for a home. And pretty soon, you're going to find your dream home. I promise you. Don't overbid. Thank you so much for listening. And please share and comment on my blog at Mansion for Me. Goodbye.